All right, so this morning we're going to dig into our new series. And this series is going to encompass, kind of like a mini-series, it's going to be over the next 3 weeks. And it's going to encompass things that some of you will know well and some of you will not. But at least all of you should know a little bit of something about this subject. And we've called this series, we've called it Heart Choice. And it's a choice, it's about looking at your heart in all things and paying attention. Because the Bible says, and you guys probably know this a little bit, or some of you know it very well, the Bible says to watch our heart, right? It says to watch our heart. In fact, the heart is so important that in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, some 725 times the word heart is used to bring attention to what's going on with our heart, where our heart is, or what condition it is, or how we're applying it, that we need to be careful about what's going on. Now, as Christians, we would understand that, right? And we understand that because, well, if you look in through Scripture, especially like with the last book that we're in, with our last series in Proverbs, it tells us that above all else, we're supposed to guard our hearts. We're supposed to pay attention to our heart and where our heart is at. It says, because everything flows from it, right? Everything comes from our heart. And what happens comes out of us. In fact, there's one translation that says, our heart is actually the wellspring of life. You ever heard that? The wellspring of life. And a wellspring is something that is amazing, is a wellspring. Because a wellspring is something that's actually of a rich and bountiful source. That means it's a lot of it. And your heart has a lot of whatever stuck in there. It comes in. It's like almost a regenerating thing in your heart. You know, we talked about on our one previous series about having hope in our lives, right? And hope lives inside of us and actually lives in our heart. So that's, well, there's no, you know, reason to doubt that our heart is a wellspring, a rich and bountiful source, because that's where our hope lives in there. And we're supposed to have healthy hearts. We're supposed to have healthy hearts and when we walk through life. Now, if you were to go outside these walls to people that don't know Jesus in their life, the first thing that would probably come to their mind is their physical heart, right? You're supposed to have a healthy heart. I mean, I remember that being drilled into my brain all through school. Even down into elementary school, we go through PE and says, you guys have to have healthy hearts. You have to, you know, exercise. You have to do these things. You have to eat healthy foods. You ever remember having that just drilled into your mind? Well, if you go to the doctor anytime, it's still drilled in your mind. Your doctor will talk to you about having a healthy heart. And generally, the doctor is talking about having a physical, healthy heart. Because our hearts are so important. Did you know that our hearts beat over 100,000 times a day? In fact, women's hearts beat 8 times more in a minute than a man's. So those are well over 100,000 times in a day. Our hearts are pumping about a gallon and a half of blood around our body every minute. That's 1.5 gallons going around your body that your heart is doing a minute. That equals to about 2,000 gallons in a day. 2,000 gallons in a day. Whew. Seems to me like my heart might be getting tired. 2,000 gallons in a day? And sometimes it does feel like your heart gets a little tired, doesn't it? It feels like that's going on there, that it just like... Whew. In fact, our hearts do so much that they suffer from illness on occasion. You know, some of the most severe illnesses is heart disease and heart attacks. And heart attacks and heart disease are no simple thing. Most of you really truly understand that these are very serious, serious medical conditions. Heart attacks. Did you know that most heart attacks actually happen on Christmas Day? Think about that. Christmas Day, the day that we're celebrating our Lord and Savior's birth, is the day that more heart attacks happen. Second behind that is actually the day after Christmas and New Year's Day. It's like, wow, I didn't know that. It's pretty amazing. Now, that's some trivia stuff that you can tuck away in your pocket for that trivial pursuit day, that you can amaze your friend and wow your family. Say, did you know this? I don't know why the occasion would come up to speak about it, but there you have it. But it's important that we realize that, to realize the state of our heart and how healthy it is and how healthy it needs to be. In fact, I have a gentleman here that's going to join me in just a second that has been through one of these occurrences with his heart. And he's going to share some of the things that he went through and some of the things that he actually learned from this occasion. So if you would, please, welcome Randy up to the stage with me. Randy, would you come on up here, please? No, nobody can speak for you. You have to do it yourself. Hi, Randy. Good morning. So you have been a person that has gone through a related heart event. What did you deal with? What did you deal with? What happened? What heart event did happen?
Well, I guess it was a heart attack.
Okay. That should be on. So they'll adjust it. But so you had a heart attack?
Yes.
How long ago?
September of 2007.
Okay. And how did you know it was a heart attack?
Because it buckled me to my knees.
It buckled you to your knees?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. Is that the only thing that happened? Was it just buckled you to your knees?
Well, of course, with chest pain, yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's okay, right? That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough.
That was enough.
You know, if you get an event that is so painful that it brings you to your knees, it probably gets your attention. This one got your attention, didn't it?
It did.
Okay. So what do you think led up to that event?
Not take care of myself.
Okay.
Stress.
Okay.
I was a salesman at that time for 7 years, and I traveled about 12 to 1,500 miles a week in my car, so I didn't get a lot of exercise. A lot of Diet Coke, donuts, and pizza.
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff, yes. So,
okay.
And then my wife and I had some prior events that year where we lost our home, and we ended up moving in with a couple outside of town for 4 months. And then during that time, I had gotten kidney cancer, so I went through kidney surgery and was in the hospital with West Nile, very sick with that, and yeah. And then the month before, we gave our lives to Christ out at Inspiration Hills. Yeah. So.
2006, your wife is telling me.
Something. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing how they got a mind for those types of details. Mm-hmm. So you went through a terrible event, and we'll just call it a terrible event because it's terrible. But we see that some of the things that, you know, led up to this event, mm-hmm, was basically not taking care of yourself. Okay? But at this time, had you given yourself to Jesus at this time that you had the heart attack?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think about that? I mean, you'd given your heart to Jesus. What ran through your head at the time that you were having a heart attack?
At that point, I think I was a little angry, but I also knew that at that point I was probably in one of those lows where I strayed away. And I think God allowed this to happen to me to wake me up.
Okay. Woke you up? Did it get your attention with this one?
At that point, yes, it did.
Oh, you said at that point.
Yeah.
So was there somewhere else that you had, you know, the ups and downs that you were just previously talking about?
Well, yeah, I kind of had fallen away a year or two later. I still loved the Lord, but I was just not a daily thing to me. And then God slowed me down again and allowed me to have prostate cancer, so I had surgery and had that all done. That really woke me up.
Okay. So through this entire, we'll call it an event because it was really an event. It was a season. It was a chapter, right? So this entire chapter of your life, what did you learn?
I learned that I need to take care of myself, and I learned that I need to rely on God. And I thank God for all these things that have happened in our lives, because my wife and I wouldn't be where we're at today with Him without these events.
So not all enjoyable, but definitely for a purpose.
For a purpose, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else that you would like to share with us about what that special event in your life? No?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming up and sharing your heart, because it's, well, as you saw this morning, it's not always easy to share your heart. You know, even when it's good news, it's not always easy to share your heart, right? So, absolutely. Let me put this over here before I forget and I get yelled at by my tech team. Your heart's very important. Your heart health is very important. And to lead a heart healthy lifestyle is something that we all need to strive for. And our physical heart health is important. It really is. I mean, we can't speak less of that, because it's very important. But our spiritual heart condition is critical also. We have to have such a condition in our heart spiritually that we know that it's a healthy heart, that it's something that we are given instruction on in many ways. Because as we were reading before, Proverbs 23, what the heart does, the NLT version, the New Living Translation version, puts it a little bit differently, because it says, for it determines the course of your life. You're supposed to guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life and where you're going in life and how you're dealing with events in your life. Now, you may think that, okay, is it really that important? And my answer would be yes. Because the condition of your heart speaks a lot about where you're at in life and what you're letting into your life. And what does it mean that it determines the course of your life? Well, it means exactly what it said in the front. It means that you need to guard your heart. Y'all need to take a stance and determining and a purposeful stance and saying, I need to guard my heart. I need to watch out for it. I need to watch out for it physically. But even more and beyond that, I need to watch out for it spiritually and what I'm putting into my heart. We need to put into our bodies something that is good for us. Just like food, we're supposed to eat good food, right? We're supposed to consume the food that's good for our bodies, where we get our vitamins, we get our minerals, we get all the things that our body needs to grow and be strong. But we also need to do the same thing with our heart, where we need to provide it the things that it needs to grow and to be strong. And our heart needs more than just the physical food or other things, the attributes needed to make it healthy. It needs the spiritual attributes needed to make our heart healthy. Because when our heart is not healthy, bad things happen. Now, Randy talked to us about some physical things that were going on, but he also alluded to the fact that there were some spiritual things going on there. And I think that goes to show you that they're both needed, but I think that one is even needed more than the other. And that spiritual food, that spiritually clean and pure food, is what is truly needed for us in our lives. Because what we consume greatly affects us. Would you agree with that? That what we consume greatly affects us. If we consume a lot of negative things come out of us. You know, this winter time, during all the Christmas and holidays and Thanksgiving and New Year's and all that stuff, the garbage that I ate It was delicious. It tasted good. But how's the wording go? It tastes like honey, but it sours in your stomach. All those things were delicious to me. And I had a good time tasting those things. But after New Year's, I could tell a difference in my body. And the same thing happens in our heart. That what we consume in our hearts, whether it's on our phones, the TV, our music, the social media, whatever it is, even the people around you, greatly affects your heart. We need to consume positive things because, well, the exact opposite happens, right? When we consume positive things, positive things come out, right? Consume negative things come out. Consume positive things come out. I don't know how many new followers of Christ tell me that one of the major differences they ever did when they started following Christ is they started listening to different music. That the music that they listened to, they would turn on to the Christian radio station and they would listen to that type of music. Let me tell you the type of music that I used to listen to before I was a Christian. Have you ever heard of Marilyn Manson? 5 Finger Death Punch. I listened to those heavy rock and roll, heavy beats, you know, where the message was not really good there. And my transition to following Jesus is like, I no longer wanted to listen to that. That I started feeding my heart and my life with something different. And most Christians that have that feeling in their life, and they have that transition, especially if they don't grow up being a Christian, that is a major thing that they will tell you. That they start feeding into their heart, into their life, the positive things of God and what God wants us to. Because, well, we sang about this morning, right? God is so good. And He wants to put inside of us the positive things that then we have come out of us. You put in positive things come out. Because a man's heart reflects them, right? I want you to turn to Proverbs 27, please. And I'm going to put it up on the screen here for you guys in a second. Because I want you to see the English Standard Version, because it says something a little bit differently. But in Proverbs 27, verse 19, it says this. Let me turn it here quick. 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Now, it's the second part of that verse I want you to really look at. And if I put up this version on the screen, does it make more sense this way? That if I would put up, so the heart of a man reflects, well, so the heart of a man reflects the man. Does that make sense? That they will see what kind of person you are by your heart. They will see what kind of what you have inside of you by what comes out of you. Because you are reflected by what's in your heart. That whatever you have in your heart will come out of you somehow. That it will be reflected. And sometimes as we look at ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can kind of deceive ourselves thinking we're not that person that we think that we are. But if we were to take a really good look at ourselves, we would look at ourselves and go, am I sure? Am I sure? Where is my heart? How is it? Is it a good heart? Am I feeding my heart good stuff? Is my heart truly reflecting the person that I want to be? Am I a good person? Do I appear to be a good person to somebody else? You know, we all have certain friends in our life, certain friends or acquaintances of circumstances. And what I mean by that is these friends, these acquaintances are with us for a certain amount of time. And usually that amount of time is as long as that you see things the same way they do, or they haven't gotten out of you what they want yet. And usually when you have friends like that in your life, you need to really take a look at what's in your heart and what you're showing people. Because most of the time, if you have a good heart and people know you have a good heart and you're a character of morals and integrity and honesty, those type of people will not come around you because you're showing them, you're reflecting to them out of your heart who you actually are and who you want to be. And that's what we're supposed to do. Your heart will be seen by your actions of what you do. You can take a moment sometimes and do something really dumb, and that reflects your heart at that moment. It's maybe not something that we want to do, but it's something that we did do. And at that point in time, that was where your heart was at. That's what you wanted to do. So that's what happened. Because Jesus talked about how a good man brings good things out of the goodness of the of what's stored up inside of them, right? In the book of Luke, it talks in chapter 6 about how we have these things, this goodness stored up inside of us, and a good man brings out good things, but if we have evil things stored up inside of us, the evil things will come out. It's not a matter of if they come out, it's a matter of when they come out. If you stored them up in there, they're still there. So unless you've purged them somehow, they're going to come out. One way or another, they will come out. One of those ways is for you to act out and to have actions and words that you don't want to do. The other way is to say, Jesus, I want you to take this from me, and he will purge them from you and take them away. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If your mouth is full of goodness, if your mouth is full of happiness and joy and peace, if your mouth is full of something good, that's what you're going to speak. If it's not, then you're going to speak the opposite. And we need to make sure that our hearts have something inside of them that is truly good so we can speak into people's lives in a positive manner. But to do that, we have to have positive things inside of us. We have to work up our hearts. And Jesus was very adamant about this. He taught a lot on the condition of the heart. Jesus cautioned us in many ways that we needed to have the right type of hearts. In fact, he said there's four types of hearts out there. And it comes, this lesson comes, and probably one of the greatest parables that there was ever written that most people know. Most Christians can recall this parable by heart a lot of times because it talks about what the soil of your heart is. The soil of your heart and what's in there. And this parable, if you didn't get it already, is about the parable of the sower. So I want to read that to you. I want you to turn in your Bibles or your apps to Matthew chapter 13. And I want to read to you in there the exact parable that Jesus talked about when he was trying to instruct those around him, when he was trying to instruct all of his disciples, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what he was trying to say to them. And it starts at verse 3 where it says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown." These are the four types of hearts. The four types of things where Jesus is instructing us and warning us about the soil of our heart and how he would like it to be and what we need to be looking for. Because soil condition matters. We are a farming community around here. If you don't farm, you at least know a farmer. Okay? Or perhaps some of you have a garden or plant flowers or do something in the soil where you try and grow something. So with that in mind, you know that the condition of the soil is very important. Farmers take and they spend a lot of time, you even spend a lot of money at some points, to condition the soil exactly for what they're planting in it. And they take that time to condition, they plant it. But then they don't just leave it alone. They go throughout the summer, they till it. They get rid of the weeds, they prepare, and they keep that soil in such a condition. It's not like something where you do it once and you forget about it. This is something where you need to keep an eye on the soil of your heart constantly, consistently, to make sure your heart is being fed the positive things and your heart is prepared to do those positive things that you're being asked to do. And behave in the way that you're being asked to behave. It's important that we do that. So in the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at some different conditions of our hearts. We're going to be looking at our hearts and the conditions that they can be in. We're going to be looking at what an incorrect heart looks like, what it acts like, the appearance that it gives off. And we're going to be talking about how do we work against it. How do we keep our hearts from putting and becoming that very thing that we don't want it to be? But on the other side, we're also going to be looking at the condition and what a correct heart is. And how that really works in our lives, and we become so much better by what we feed into our lives, the positive things that we feed into there. And how do we achieve that heart? How do we achieve that healthy, good, positive heart? And what that really looks like. These are important things because our heart condition not only affects us, it affects others. It affects others. And if you don't think it affects others, you need to take a look around at yourself sometimes when you do things that are really stupid. You can have a moment that you say something, it's like, oh, and then the realization comes on your face, that was really dumb. But then you get to look on the face of somebody else to realize that you just upset them. You just said something really wrong. This is different than speaking word and truth and love. But when you speak truth and love, you've put positive things in your heart first. When you speak dumb things, you probably put negative things in there. And part of that. Because everything that comes out of you comes from the heart, right? And we know that the tongue is a very powerful instrument. In fact, Proverbs, when Solomon wrote this down, Proverbs, he said that the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Your tongue has the power of life and death. How much power is that? That's a lot of power. And that power, that intention, comes from the heart. Because the heart is the wellspring of life. A rich and bountiful source. So we need to pay attention on what we have in our lives. What we're putting into ourselves. Because Jesus, he showed us the way. And we know the power of the heart because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus' heart was positive. The positive things went in and he ultimately sacrificed himself for our life. For our sins. And if you don't know this life or if you're out of touch with it, guess what? Now is a great time to get back in touch with it. To start feeding positive things into you that will drive out negative things. Because I got news for you. If you put so much positive stuff in your heart, the negative things go away. They can't stay in there anymore. They go over the top and they wash down the drain. Because only things are in there. Only positive things are in there. And it keeps on refilling and refreshing with positive things so negative things get driven out. It's important that we remember these. So again, if you don't know or not in touch with that positive aspect or you don't know Jesus and the love that he has for you, now is a great time to get in touch with it. To refresh that in your life. and examine what goes on in your heart and how your heart is and what you're feeding into your life. Do you commiserate with people that have your same viewpoint all the time? That they feed these negative things into your life because they're saying the exact same words that you want to hear, but perhaps they're not saying the words that you need to hear? It's a good place to reflect and think about it. And if you don't know the heart of Jesus, well, now's a great time to get to know the heart of Jesus. That is the wellspring, a source of bounty that we need to have in our lives, because He is the source of life. Plain and simple. That's it. He's the source of life. If you don't know that source, or if you don't know the source the way you want to know that source, get to know it. I invite you to read your Bible. I invite you to pray. I invite you to do devotions. I invite you to do many different things that will feed positive energy, positive spirit into your heart, the Holy Spirit into your heart. Because that is where life is at. And that's my hope. That's my prayer. That's my blessing for you today, is that you would know that life unending without a doubt that Jesus is in your heart. Let's just worship the Lord together. Let's be a part of that journey, and let's put positive things in our heart.